From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, December 1st. Coming up, Ebertfest organizers announced this fall they won't be coming back, but there's some discussion of a possible encore. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Any new snow we receive today will fall on top of what the National Weather Service is calling one of the most prolific late November snowfalls on record. IPM's Reginald Hardwick reports.
Pretty close to a whiteout here.
Early Saturday afternoon, IPM meteorologist Andrew Pritchard measured the snow and 25-mile-per-hour wind gusts in Champaign County.
The snow is pretty, but the winds are fierce, especially out in the open.
Parts of Coles and Macon counties received more than 10 inches of snow. At Geese Memorial Stadium, 8 inches of snow blanketed the seats and field. But that didn't stop the Fighting Illini football team, which beat Northwestern as the storm moved east. Reginald Hardwick, IPM News.
If you look out over Lake Decatur, you'll see two platforms that look like floating gardens. These structures are man-made wetlands, a project of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. IPM Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton explains how researchers hope to improve water quality while boosting biodiversity.
The native plants growing on the floating wetlands soak up nutrients like nitrates, which can negatively affect water quality. Civil and environmental engineer Rafael Tinoco says the wetlands, which were installed over the summer, will be tested as winter approaches. And he'll be looking for ways to improve on the current design.
But first we needed to see, can we build it? And will the plant survive if we put something like this? So now we can optimize the design, and now we can focus on what type of instrumentation we're going to have, what type of data we can collect on the next round.
The Floating Wetlands Project is a collaboration between Granger's College of Engineering and the Prairie Research Institute. I'm Alyssa Eaton, IPM News.
For 26 years, Ebertfest brought in world-renowned filmmakers, directors, actors, and musicians for a weekend of live music and film at the Virginia Theater in Champaign. When Ebertfest announced this fall that it wouldn't be back next year, it caught some people by surprise, but not Andrew Stangley, who worked on the festival for many years.
In general, since Roger passed away, attendance has gone down a bit, and you almost got the feeling that this was coming for a few years now anyway. The previous year, 2024, Chaz Ebert was very wishy-washy on whether they would do another one.
Last month, Chaz Ebert sent an email to Virginia Theater patrons saying an encore may be in order. She declined an interview and didn't respond to questions about when a final decision will be made. Learn more about the impact of Ebertfest on the CU film scene over the years. That's coming up later on the 217 Today podcast. The Fighting Illini team ended their regular season with a snow fight in Champaign, winning 20-13 against Northwestern. IPM's Jonathan Matthew has more.
This past Saturday, Illinois celebrated their seniors with a snowy win against Northwestern in their final home game of the season. Senior linebacker Gabe Yakis put a hold on Northwestern's offense with 2 sacks in the second half, which ended his season with the most sacks in the Big Ten this season with 11. Head coach Brett Bielema spoke at the press conference of how much Yakis impacted the team this season.
When he is an engaged rusher, he's a really, really tough task to block. He's so powerful. He really does lean well. It bends well. You know, I don't know how high he's going to go in a draft. He'll probably be, in my opinion, probably our highest draft pick.
Illinois improves to 8-5 overall and 5-4 in conference play, which qualifies them for another bowl game. Illinois' bowl game assignment will be announced on December 7th. This is Jonathan Matthew, IPM News.
Still to come, Ebertfest organizers announced this fall they won't be coming back, but there's some discussion of a possible encore. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for cloudy skies with snow likely late in the day and a high of 29 degrees and a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, snow likely with a low of 18 degrees. New snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches expected with the northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 24 degrees. Northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 15 degrees. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 33 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, a one-off magazine is in the works called the Chicago Review of Architecture. It aims to bring a cheeky take on not just the buildings of Illinois' biggest city, but the entire physical environment in which we live. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll check in on the college basketball season. Next time on the 21st Show, join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. For more than two decades, Ebertfest entertained film lovers in Champaign-Urbana and beyond as the largest film festival in the region. This fall, festival organizers announced they won't be coming back, although there's some discussion of a possible encore. IPM Student Newsroom's Ayoshi Basu has this look at the impact of Ebertfest on the CU film scene over the years.
Ebertfest was unlike any other event in Champaign-Urbana. The red carpet affair brought world-renowned filmmakers, directors, actors, and musicians to East Central Illinois every spring for a weekend of live music and film at the Virginia Theater. And this happened pretty much every year for 26 years. It was always extravagant, says Andrew Stengley, who worked at Ebertfest for more than a decade.
When you get to see classics, sometimes from film, silent movies with live music accompaniment, and then have guests that were maybe involved with the movies coming up too. It's not something that happens every day.
The late Roger Ebert was one of the most famous movie critics of his time. In the late 90s, Ebert was invited to Champaign to host an event that included a screening of 2001 Space Odyssey. That's where he met film producer Nate Cohn, who had just finished his PhD at the University of Illinois. In a 2024 interview with IPM News, Cohn says, at the time, the Virginia Theater had been closed for many years.
So we reopened the theater, discovered that there was still 70 millimeter projection in the theater, and showed the film to a large audience and was very successful.
They began to talk about hosting an annual festival. Then in 1999, Roger and Chaz Ebert founded Ebertfest with Cohn as the first director. He says they tried to spotlight films that might otherwise be overlooked.
Chaz and I select the films based on films that we think are important in the particular moment, films we think that deserve a second look, and films that just generally deal with the themes of empathy, which Chaz and Roger were very cognizant of.
Over the years, Ebertfest has hosted big names both on screen and in person, like Tilda Swinton, Spike Lee, and Francis Ford Coppola. But the festival also gave a platform to niche films that spoke to the Eberts, says Nat Dykeman, director of Champaign Film Society.
Ebertfest is known more for, some people call it IndieWood, that would be, you know, the low-budget Hollywood movies, Sundance hits.
When Ebertfest announced in September that it wouldn't be back next year, it caught some people by surprise, but not Andrew Stengley.
In general, since Roger passed away, attendance has gone down a bit. And you almost got the feeling that this was coming for a few years now anyway. The previous year, 2024, Chaz Ebert was very wishy-washy on whether they would do another one.
Last month, Chaz Ebert sent an email to Virginia Theater patrons saying an encore may be in order. She declined an interview for this story and didn't respond to questions about when a final decision will be made. Dykeman says if Ebertfest doesn't come back in the spring, he's going to hold his independent film festival, the Savoy Lumiere, around the time Ebertfest would have been.
I'm hoping to double in size. I'm hoping to have two rooms next year, one of them solely dedicated for documentaries and one of them solely dedicated for narratives. We're hoping to add also an educational component, some lectures or workshops about filmmaking.
And in the meantime, he's hosting screenings at the Savoy 16, called Savoy Art House. At a recent event, the aroma of movie theater popcorn fills the lobby where Dykeman is seated at a fold-out table. He passes out postcards advertising upcoming screenings, and strikes up conversation with people who stop by.
And I think that any film scene should have sort of a well-rounded options. The idea that I'm able to pull a different film every week and do a screening is what's really been enticing to me.
He says he's always been drawn to the original idea behind Ebertfest, highlighting overlooked films and creating a space where movie lovers can gather to watch films they can't see anywhere else. I'm Aoishi Basu, IPM News.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Aoishi Basu, Reginald Hardwick, Andrew Pritchard, Alyssa Eaton, and Jonathan Matthew. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.